Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are the couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex. This week, we're here to talk about Terror of the Autons, written by Robert Holmes, directed by Barry Letts, aired January 2nd through January 23rd, 1971. Before we get into it, it is time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 40-second plot synopsis. On your mark, let's go.
Okay, the Doctor has a new companion, and the companion is kind of dumb, but it turns out it's not completely dumb. And then the Doctor's like, no, I don't like her. And then it's the Master. The Master's here. He steps out of like a bus thing. He's like, hello, I have this egg. Boom, all the plastic in the nesting egg. I'm going to kill all the humans. And the Doctor's like, no, don't do that. I'm going to take this piece out of your ship. And the Master's like, I'm going to hypnotize the world. And also, the plastic kills everybody. And now all these Autons are shooting at people. And you're dying. This giant shootout. Bam, bam. Oh, I'm dead. And then the Doctor's like, no, that'll kill everybody.
Time. Shut up.
No, you shut up. I had so much more to say.
I bet. We'll get into it. But before we do, let's see. Terry's not here. So, Alex.
Yo.
Out of 156 total classic Doctor Who stories, where do you think this fell on the Doctor Who magazine's 50th anniversary poll?
Oh, gosh. Sorry, I'm trying to be Terry.
how many were there?
Yeah, how many were there? Catch a Stray is always not here. I'm gonna go with 72.
Oh, those aren't strays. Ooh, those are
pulling Cody's strat.
Those are aimed. Yeah,
this I actually think it's middle. That's yep.
Okay. I'll allow it.
Sam, I think you're next. Go ahead.
38.
Ah!
Damn.
Jill.
My gut reaction was 42, but that's too close to 38. So
do it. I bet you.
I
both
was originally
right.
Going to say 40.
30.
Ooh. I'm going to be so
and
wrong.
Bringing up the rear, Cody.
76, baby.
Oh, you think it's on the bad side? Middle.
It's got to pick a side.
Got to. Yeah.
It's 34.
Damn.
Yay. The fuck it is.
Who wins?
Holy shit. That was you. You did 30.
She did 38. We're right in the middle.
Really bad at this.
You guys are the same amount away.
It had the Master and Autons, which came back.
Yeah.
Autons were in the first episode.
Can you hear that?
It's going to be more popular.
Wait, just listen.
I mean, don't listen, because this is my strategy, and none of you follow it, and it's great except Jill.
It's the sound of fandom sucking the Master's peen? Is that what that is?
Well, I thought you were trying to rip ass or something.
Oh.
It's one of the best companions, one of the best villains, the best actor to play that villain, and
God, his facial features.
A bunch of shoot 'em ups and a bunch of stunts, and the Doctor just being fucking dope as shit.
And yeah, it's four episodes and not six or eight or whatever.
It's like a Western show.
The best actor to play that villain, I'll give you for classic. I don't know about new. I really like some new Who renditions.
Not even close, dude.
Well, you haven't seen all the stories yet.
Oh, no. Don't worry.
Today, I was actually thinking about like a current day nesting consciousness episode and what they might like write about. And I was like, oh, microplastics are all over the news. This would be so easy. And then you could have a giant monster come from the sea that is like the sea patch or whatever.
Wasn't that episode one of Eccleston's era? Was that the Nestini?
Yeah, Rose was the Autons. But there's a Jodie Whittaker story where they did the microplastics.
But it wasn't Autons, right?
No.
Okay.
What was it?
I can't remember the name of the episode.
It was when they were jumping all over the world. It was a really cool. It was Jody, right? Yeah.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jake.
What'd you think of this one?
Well, that was pretty good. It's fine. The first, I still can't pay attention for the first half of the serials.
And then, that'd be tough for this one because a lot happens in the first episode. They do not waste time.
I couldn't tell you a whole lot of it. But the last two episodes, bangers.
Bangers?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of banging?
Bang. Okay, what did the master show up in? I wrote down Winnebago.
That's good enough.
It's a horse trailer.
Horse trailer. Yeah.
I was like, Master TARDIS Winnebago. All right, let's go. Yeah.
They called it a horse box like six times.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I also love that they like make a reference to like there's not even a horse in it. The doctor's like, yeah, and there's not a police in the police box.
Boom, shit on her.
But he was saying it to Joe, and Joe does not know what the TARDIS is yet.
Right.
It's just a box in the corner.
He was really
it has not been explained to her.
Spoilers. The first two episodes.
True.
Yeah, go ahead, Jill. What'd you think of this one?
I liked a lot, other than the doctor being an asshole for the first two episodes. The master is sick. I loved seeing the master's TARDIS. That was cool. Joe, you just have to love her immediately. Yeah, a lot of really cool stuff. The only thing I really didn't like was the Autons.
Like, what didn't you like about the Autons?
I don't know. They just didn't do it for me. Like,
I love the big head Autons when they're doing the flowers.
Oh.
That costume is so good.
It felt like it just felt too easy to like have a robot.
But how do they breathe?
How do they breathe?
Fuck. True, dude.
I was listening earlier today to the Lazy Doctor podcast, and they were talking about how, or the one of them, the wife, they're a married couple, whose names I can never remember, said that she hates or has always hated the John Pertwee era.
Pertwee!
And she just doesn't like Pertwee because she thinks his character's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
But she did say that this time, because they're going through it in order, which she hasn't done before, she always just watches episodes as they're doing it for various podcasts, seeing the season with Liz first kind of softened her to the doctor so that when he's kind of being a dick, she's giving him a little more leeway. And you can imagine that he's pissed that Liz is gone and that wasn't a choice of his. And then they're trying to give him a new person who isn't a scientist. And he's like, dude, I need a scientist. And they're like, well, here's a girl that none of us want. So we're dumping her on you. And he's like, fuck. But then by episode 3, when he's like, tells everyone to fuck off, and she's like, oh, me too. And he's like, nah, you're cool. You can stay.
I would like to see more of the doctor's relationship with the Brig, like at this point, because like he backs down to Joe when he's like, you need to check in with the Brig. And she's like, no, he sent me, like, I'm yours, whatever. Then it's like he trusts the Brig, but we just like don't really see that anymore. Like, they're kind of just like working on their own. So it'd be fun to like see how their relationship has developed.
Right. It's funny you bring that up because I watched the documentary Making Of on the Blu-ray, and it starts with Terrence Dix, the script editor, and Barry Letts, the producer. Like, they were just like having a meeting, which for them usually meant sitting at the pub that was around the corner from BBC Studios.
Perfect.
And they're talking about how the doctor and the Brig have this relationship that's like Sherlock and Dr. Watson, where Sherlock hates everybody and he gives Watson a lot of shit, but Watson's also the only person he trusts. So you're kind of hitting it there, but we just don't see it a lot on screen. It's kind of just more in the way they react to everything together. But then that conversation led Terrence Dix to be like, well, if they're Sherlock and Watson, then we need Moriarty. And that's why they created the Master.
Hmm.
Alex, what do you think of this one?
I've liked it. I've seen it before. We did it for our Joe first episode thing.
Yep.
Very fun. Just a cool 80 minutes of just good Doctor Who. It moved at a clip. It was great.
Cody?
Boo. Story's lame. You can't buy me with gunfights.
What time did you watch episode 3 and 4?
Why does it matter?
Just going to skirt that question.
Yeah.
She knows when you get hangry.
No, this is just a fun answer.
What? No, like 2 in the morning. But that was after I went to bed.
That was when he woke up,
is that because you went to bed at 7?
Yeah. I just think it's funny.
But even so, I mean, the last two episodes were, I mean, they were kind of banging, but you like a chair ate a dude. And I was just like, I'm out.
Sorry, I totally sniffed into the microphone while you were talking. So enjoy that.
Yeah, you just cut that out. It's fine.
They got complaints about how scary that chair killing a dude was.
It was awesome.
That it was not suitable for children.
Yeah, that is not wild. Suitable for children. What?
Like, you imagine?
They watched him stop breathing. Like, it was a long cut. Oh, hey, it was crazy.
I'm like, there's no blood. This is fine. Crush him.
What thing killed before the chair? There's another creepy kill scene.
Like a flower,
well, the
flower
doll,
kills
but that was
the doll
after
thing,
that
really
was after
creepy.
The chair.
Oh.
God, the doll. Why did they choose that doll?
It was so creepy. Okay, yeah. And also the doctor performing surgery unnecessarily on the doll where it was just a close-up on his face and he's like, scalpel. Oh, it's just plastic. How about his head? You see his arm go up and come back down into the head. Cuts it open.
Please. I mean, I watched the episode. I don't need to watch it again, you know?
That part killed
me. Daffodil suffocation doesn't, like, seem to go well with children either.
But it was short. Like, it's kind of over before you get a chance to
she doesn't
realize
die,
what's
still.
Happening.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the ending was such blah.
The pod baby. The repoddening.
And it was blah.
The repoddening. The 3-year-old watched episode 3 and 4 with me, and he loved, requested to watch it multiple times, the scene with the phone lasso.
The phone lasso.
Yes.
Yo, Pertwee That's sold funny. That, though. He was...
Dude, they filmed it in reverse, or filmed it and then played it
no,
in reverse.
No idea.
They had to have.
Oh, no,
Yo,
he loved it.
The Doctor Who has, like, bullet... effects now, like you get shot and you don't just like fall over, there's like a little poof of smoke or something.
Well, when the Auton shoots you, there's a poof of smoke. That I love that, like the orange cloud of like a smoke bomb. Great.
What they saved in makeup effects by putting giant dumb masks on these actors.
Giant creepy as fuck masks.
Those were awful.
Were they? It was the Burger Boy face.
Yeah.
Hold on, did we hear from everybody except Jake? Jake, what did you think?
Fucking love it. One of my favorites.
This guy.
It's got my favorite companion. It's got my favorite villain. My favorite actor playing the villain. Top 2 doctors. What's not to like? Come on.
It's good.
And like you've all said, 4 episodes.
Hell yeah, brother.
Was Rory an Auton? Am I remembering that right?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Eventually. For a while.
When I was listening, so when we're driving today, Jill was watching in the car, so I was listening to it again. And the whole scene with Joe going blank face after she tried to blow everyone up, and then the doctor describing like, oh, her frontal lobe is rejecting what just happened with the deep trauma. And like, that seemed, like, listening to it again seemed really powerful. And then it reminded me of when Rory shot Amy and how, like, sad and traumatized he was. And that's such a dark move. The Autons are crazy.
Verbatim, by the way. That was a Harry Potter move, too. Harry Potter did that. Maybe it's a British thing to make you, like, hurt your friends.
Like brainwashing?
I think it's just a drama thing.
Brainwashing's a thing.
Brainwashing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we get so much from the Master of stuff that goes on forever. Like, the hypnosis thing, he does it in the first 2 seconds. And I love the beginning of this story. It's just, the Master's TARDIS lands. The Master hops out. Master sees a guy, says, I'm the Master, you will obey me. He's like, all right. And then it cuts to the credits. Or, first it cuts to the Doctor, we meet Joe, credits. It's, and it all happens so fast.
I didn't realize, like... it was within the first 2 minutes that those two guys, so the master and his lackey, broke into a museum and stole the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was so fast. I was like, wait, what was that? What just happened?
Yeah, it's the master saying, "You will obey me," turns, snaps his fingers, they start walking, cut to they're at a museum, and he grabs the thing, and they're
like,
just
like, one police officer, "Hey, you, cut that out."
We saw the Auton one relatively recently, so you might have recognized that that sphere that he was grabbing was one of the Auton spheres. But if you're watching it when this came out, that was a year ago. But they're just, I think they just really had stuff they wanted to get in. So many new characters to introduce that they're just like, bam, bam, bam. Like,
yeah.
You know, Joe's told she has to stay at the office, but she's like, how about I put a list together of warehouses? They're like, okay, cool. And then it just smash cuts to her at a warehouse where she finds the doc or
right.
The master, fucks it up. It's all in 2 seconds.
But no one knows where she went. So then when she shows up all catatonic, they're like, where was she? No one knows.
I kept expecting them to be like, oh, you made a list. Let's go find your list. And it'll be the first one. No one does.
Yeah. For being a soldier, she did not report her goings-ons.
She's not a soldier.
She said she was trained.
She's like a trained agent. But that could mean a lot of things. And she's a liar. And oh, no. She,
true.
She got pushed up through the ranks because her uncle is like a high-up military person.
Heck yeah.
Was there ever a storyline? Well, I suppose you won't tell us because it may be spoilers, but I was curious, like, when I heard that, like, oh, is there, like, a bad guy that tried to get Joe close to the doctor so, like, they could try destroy him? But probably not.
No, but there is, I want to say, like, a second doctor story where there's a soldier that's, like, has her name or something. That was like kind of a coincidence, but fans are like, oh, that must be her uncle. Like before he rose up through the ranks. But her last name's Grant. Like it's not the craziest name.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Not for 1 minute did anybody be like, hey, I can't really hear this guy snap through these gloves.
I almost ended my last sentence with that. Like for a guy who clearly cannot snap his fingers, they asked him to do it 100 times in this episode.
Every time I was like, no, just come on.
Do you think they VO'd a snap? Oh, they didn't. I don't remember.
No.
No, they're all just terrible snaps. Finger snaps.
Yeah. So he's like, you'll obey me. And then he like does the equivalent of tripping over like a stuffed animal of a snap. Don't fucking laugh at me, bro. Was that funny? Was I being funny? That, by joking?
But I laugh when people are stupid, too.
Not funny, haha.
Oh. That's it. That's everything that happened this episode.
Yeah, I'm trying to think I have. Oh, who's the guy who didn't need the TARDIS? Did we talk about that?
The guy who didn't
need
the TARDIS?
He just like, poof. Here I am. Poof. Now I'm gone. Poof. Here I am.
We get two new Time Lords. Yeah. Not just the master, but random bowler hat guy.
Completely forgot about him.
Fuck that guy. That had to have been just like a random, like they must have had more in the script for him and they just like, we don't need him.
It's the toy maker, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah, well, he says he's from like the consortium and that they agreed to warn the doctor. But the only thing that was in the script, I think, that they left out was him saying that the master broke out of prison.
Hmm.
Time Lord prison?
And he's just like, our bad.
Sweaty. Time prison.
Give you the warning.
We've been there. We don't like that place.
I won't remember any of the words, but I'd never looked up so much English slang.
Jacka something?
Jacknape.
Boffin was one.
Jacknape, yeah.
I also had to Google.
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
Come on, guys.
I just listen to context.
Right.
How about when the doctor called Joe a ham-fisted bun vendor?
Jesus. That is so violent. Mean. That's borderline hate speech.
I have a really important question, though.
Okay.
Is Wait, the master... are we taking questions?
Yes, it's me.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Is the master banging?
Oh, yes.
Always.
Like, yes. He's dripping in the riz.
Probably, ugh. Yes, but that suit, like, puts it way over the edge.
Kind of gives me the ick, though.
Gives you the ick? Yeah, because his hair is perfectly coiffed.
Gives me a little bit of the ick.
It's the Tony Stark facial hair.
It is.
The suit combination was so good. Like, oh, I need more of that in Doctor Who.
It's funny. I watched the Blu-rays that have been coming out. They have this thing called Behind the Sofa where they get, like, old and current cast members to watch these stories. And then it's just like, you know, watch these people watch this. And first of all, they all went nuts over Ham-Fisted Bunbender. But that Sacha Dhawan, who is the most recent person to play the Master, watching Roger Delgado for the first time. He had never watched him, like, on purpose. He didn't want, like, any influence. And he was so blown away by, like, how, like, still he is when he acts and how just calm and chill he was. And he was just, like, you could tell he had, there's a little bit of, like, man, I wish I had watched this before I did my fucking insanity.
Yeah, he's like the opposite. He's out of his mind.
He's the mad doctor, or doctor. He's the mad master.
Mad Hatter doctor.
But it was really cool just to see him get to see it for the first time. It was neat.
That is interesting.
I do enjoy Sasha, though. He's very good.
Absolutely amazing.
He's a bit much.
You're a bit much. There was an episode where... No, you're not. A bit much. There was an episode where... I don't know if Joe said or something. It's like, we're going to go down to the quarry. And Sam and I just like slowly turned to each other with our stupid shit-eating grins. We're just like, yeah, we're going to a quarry,
the
boys.
The quarry giggles.
Yeah.
That was Katie Manning's first day. She had to run around a quarry. She's legally blind. Like, she can't drive. She has, like, they didn't really have contacts back then in the same way they do now. So she would wear these huge glasses until it was time to say action and then take them off.
I was like, she's not wearing glasses, is she?
No, she refused to wear glasses on camera. So even, I've seen her do interviews where she's, like, tells the interviewer she cannot see their face. And they're 3 feet in front of her.
Oh my.
But she twisted her ankle and some floor manager took her to the hospital and made a joke saying that you didn't put much on film, so we could easily replace you. And she was so scared, but he was just joking. But it was her first day and she was so nervous anyway. She hadn't really done TV or film. She was a stage actor. And she told John Pertwee that happened, and he flipped his shit on that dude and was like, that's not cool.
Nice. Can you imagine going into acting and not being able to see? That's insane.
Well, it's insane to try running through a fucking quarry without being able to see your feet.
But even on stage, you have to run around and, like, hit your marks and shit.
I mean, she could see enough. But yeah, I mean, it's always been a problem. But it was a really cool documentary. They even got some John Pertwee stuff in there talking about Katie Manning. That interview he did in like 95 or something like that.
R.I.P.
Let's see. He died in 96. So yeah.
Lived a good life.
And him and, I mean, we'll talk about it a lot more through the rest of their time together, but Pertwee and Katie Manning were like real friends. Like, he picked her up every morning for work. They went on vacations together with their spouses. Like, she always just only says good things about him. And in the little bit that there is of him talking about her, he just like lights up talking about her.
I bet John Pertwee would like always show up if your belt slipped out on the highway, you know? Like, he would just there with all the tools.
He would just hike up his frilly sleeves and just, like, put out one hand and not really know what he's doing, but it would work somehow and your car would start working.
No, you got to pour that gel from that episode, and it works its way all the way from the radiator to the tailpipe.
Hell yeah. It only happens if you point.
Wait. Oh, yeah, because where it was going through the vehicle. Got it. Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, you get it.
I'm there now. So silly.
Who, me?
So silly.
We also have another new character they introduced who's going to be recurring, and that's Mike Yates, who is the unit soldier that was trying to make cocoa for them.
Why was, if you recall, the doctor so offended about the cocoa? I don't understand.
I reflected trying to boil water in a glass beaker. That's got to take so long.
Oh, is this the Bunsen burner guy that, like, lit that sucker up and then left?
Okay, and also the doctor get the cocoa. Going from being pissed off about him using... He's like, did you use my Bunsen burner? Wait, the heat. They're affected by heat. And I'm like, that... I feel like no one's brain would... And it was wrong anyways, but anyway.
I don't think it was wrong. Because, like,
it was right for the doll...
The doll in the guy's car starts getting up in the car, and then he's like patting his brow because he's hot, and he turns the heat off and opens a window, and then it lays back down.
Yeah, and before he got into the car, the master cranked the heat up.
Oh, yeah, the master turned the heat up when he like leaned into the car.
Was this during episode one or two?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that part.
may not have been.
Most of the exposition happens early, Sam. Those are the ones you kind of got to pay attention
to.
Jake,
I can't. You're lucky that I enjoyed 3 and 4.
Hey, man, these are way more fun when you hate them.
Anybody who says, did you touch my Bunsen burner? Should just be taken out.
Oh, we're
back.
Going back to that.
We need to get off of this.
No. Just imagine Alex comes in and touches my Bunsen burner, and I get so mad.
He was giving high school science teacher vibes. Who touched the Bunsen burner?
Who?
Hey, to be fair, Joe warned him, like. He's not gonna like you doing this.
Why?
He has very sensitive alien experiments going on. Joe already ruined one by putting a fire out
to the off Bunsen burner.
I like how when Joe puts the fire out, he doesn't attempt to stop at all. He just like is such an ass about it afterwards. There's no like. There's like a slow-mo going to grab the fire extinguisher.
There's no like, hey, don't grab that fire extinguisher. Hey, don't fire that fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm. Also, was the pacing of like Joe and the doctor in the first episode intentional? Like, it was like painfully slow, like all of their interactions, which like really made it seem like he was a dick. So it's probably intentional. But was there something else going on? Like, were they not in the scene? It's like bad edits.
I think
edits.
This is Pertwee. I think Pertwee really, like, leans into those scenes where he thinks he gets to act a little. And so he's really doing some pauses and doing, like, some smell the fart acting.
Oh, I hated it.
Is that a technical term? Smell the fart acting?
Yes.
It's from Friends.
Dad, I haven't seen that.
What?
Jake would quote Friends, gosh.
When Joey gets hired on Days of Our Lives, it's when he learns about smell the fart acting. So anytime you can't remember your lines, you just pause and like look off to the side like you're trying to, or like you're thinking really hard about something.
Was it called Days of Our Lives on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
They had real Days of Our Lives actors be like his co-stars and stuff.
They could do that?
I think it's all owned by
NBC Universal.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, the acting I remember Joey from when he was learning how to be the punctuate. What was it? Where the dude kept like spitting in his face.
Oh, that was
His Highness, like the Incredible Man. Fuck, what's his name?
It was why am I blanking on his name? It was Sirius Black.
He plays Gordon in Batman movies.
Yeah, Gary Oldman.
There he is. Oh,
I don't know actor names.
I'm so mad. You were talking about Gary Oldman and you had forgotten Gary Oldman?
No, I remembered. Just I just couldn't think of his name.
True. Actually, that's the superpower of Gary Oldman, right?
Yeah.
He's so many people, you can't. He's not Gary Oldman. He's
anytime I see him in some kind of trivia, it always takes me like 90 seconds to remember his name.
The fact that you said Sirius Black and also the guy in all the Batman movies.
Alex called him His Highness. I don't think he's ever played a king.
No, he's just the king of all acting. He's been in everything. He's a chameleon. He's everything.
He's biggest chameleon.
Such a chameleon, he famously had to hire a dialect coach to do his native accent because he kind of forgot how.
What?
I believe it.
What's his native accent?
Liverpool.
London.
I'm going to pretend it's Liverpool.
Aren't they all the same over there?
Scouse.
No. Ooh. There's a dialect every 17 feet.
Wow, we're not married. I don't know her. Please don't hurt me.
Sam, we've been doing this podcast for 11 years.
It's been a while since we offended people. I felt it was time.
That might sync up just doing that at exactly the same time, Alex.
It might be.
I wish you'd talk about something.
The fake master's death scene.
Oh, you mean the incredible stage acting?
Yeah, it was great. Pew, pew. Oh, ah. Oh, no. Almost does the backflip. His leg, like, contorts into this weird. I was like, man, you had a lot of screen time. You get the full death experience.
Is it any better than the, like, the soldier getting shot 5,000 times from that one war movie that I don't know?
That would be Platoon.
Yep.
Okay, when the Autons were shooting at the military people and the military people, like, were shooting their guns and then they, like, stood up and, like, stumbled 2 feet. Didn't make any sense.
They died later.
Is there an end to that sentence?
Nope, that's it.
In their chairs.
You try getting shot.
It was a... you fall down, I would assume. Not stand up.
Not if you're the Michael Wisher with the master mask on. You get shot and you fly backwards.
So far. Yeah.
Speaking of all this action,
we're still on the death scene.
Excuse me?
And then the doctor goes over. And I was like, wow, that really was the master. Like, how are they going to pull this off? And then he pulls a mask off. And I was like, what?
Do you do by that?
The master is a master of disguise.
Mind blown.
Your mind is...
We've seen masks in the story before that.
I don't care. It was really good.
Oh, yeah, that was the second episode, I think,
it
actually.
It was Scooby-Doo is what it was.
Oh, yeah, I definitely didn't see that.
So, two things. One, Sacha Dhawan brought that up in the behind the couch on the Blu-ray that, you know, this master is a master of disguise in that he wears masks. Like, when he went in and put in that telephone cable that chokes him out... That was him installing it, but he had a mask on that he takes off when he gets back down to the van. So Sasha was saying his master would also be in disguise all the time, but he didn't change his face. He would, like, become a person and get into their life. So he did that with the secret agent Q. He did it with the...
Nazi man.
What's that?
Nazi? Like, when they met?
Well, but... what's his name? The Russian... He did the dance.
Oh,
yeah.
Rasputin.
Rasputin.
I kept thinking Nosferatu because I've been seeing commercials for that movie.
Nice.
End scene.
But speaking of flying backwards when you get shot, I just watched Scream 2 the other day. And at the end, the two who survive, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But the survivors shoot a killer, and with just the pistols from 15 feet away, and he goes flying 20 feet backwards into a wall.
How
from
old
getting
is
shot
Scream
by
two?
A pistol? Like 98, 99.
If you haven't seen it by now, you deserve to be spoiled. If you're listening to this podcast and have not seen,
we're ruthless here at Married to Who Pod at marriedtowhopod.com.
Oh, 97 for Scream 2.
Hilarious, by the way.
The Scream movies are very important to me, and the joy of the Scream movies is the whodunit of the killers.
You could tell me and I'd forget tomorrow.
Ovs.
The whodunit is good. I've only seen one.
Those ones aren't jump scary. Those are, like, suspense scary.
No, they're jump scares.
They put in some jump
scares. Nope, they were not doing it.
They're meta. So they put in jump scares to make fun of jump scares. Or they put in, like, what you think's going to be a jump scare. Like, someone opens a fridge and is looking through the fridge, and then the music gets really intense, so you think when they close it there's going to be a person, but there isn't. And then they do it, like, six more times.
Have watched suspense movies, and I've had to turn the volume down because it gets to be too much while it's doing things like that. And then I'll turn it back up later.
Sam is a gentle creature.
I can't.
If it's been a while since you've tried it, you should try it again.
It's been a while.
Because, I don't know. I used to not watch any horror films, and now I do a thing with Jake every year where we watch horror films.
Someone send me a good suspense movie, I will watch it, but no jump scares.
Yeah, watch Scream.
Scream's great.
Didn't you just say?
But they're fun good jump scares.
So, like, Scary Movies were out when we were younger. Did they come out at the same time as Scream?
Scary they came out after Scream because they're specifically
but like the same year or like 10 years later?
Not 10, but a couple.
Anyways, I saw Scream come on TV one night and I thought it was a Scary Movie, so I started watching it. And no, I was a child and that was bad choices.
Scary Movie is like as scary as Scream is. Scary Movie's 2000, so they'd had a couple Screams by then.
Yeah, so I was probably around Scream 10, and then I ended up watching Scream and not Scary Movie.
Scream 2 famously came out like 10 months after Scream 1. It was so popular, they rushed out a sequel.
That's crazy.
What's that?
Yeah, we should watch those instead for Halloween.
Married to Scream.
No, Scary Movie.
Me and Alex are watching Dr. Sleep and Hush, two Mike Flanagan movies.
What's this Terrifier thing that I keep seeing?
Oh, boy. I actually just listened to a podcast from the person who bought and pushed out these movies.
Watch this episode come out in December, and we're talking about Halloween
stuff. It will.
For some reason, I just see like a bunch of raves on it, and that seems strange for horror films.
If you like body horror, they're for you.
No.
And they're trying to make the bad guy be like the new Freddy Krueger and be like really popular. And that third movie, which is the first one that got like a proper theatrical release, is huge. It made so much money.
But it, was it Rob Zombie, like Devil's Rejects and stuff? Those took me off of horror, like House of a Thousand Corpses. Just real like visceral kind of.
Human Centipede.
So when you say body horror, do you mean like gory guts? Or is it like this house is made of flesh?
Here's an example. I've seen one scene that was blurred on like TikTok. There's a scene, I don't know from which Terrifier it's from, probably two, where a nude woman is chained upside down, spread eagle.
Oh, yeah, you
and
did
the
tell
Terrifier
me about that.
Takes a hacksaw
and
cuts
that.
Her in half from vagina down.
Yeah, no. I don't need that. No, that's some Devil Rejects.
Okay,
stuff
but
right
you
there.
Love Saw, and I feel like that's Saw. Here, jump in a pit of needles.
No, Saw's not even classy about it.
No.
Sometimes Saw is classy about it, and then it ruins it with that stuff. But
Saw 1 isn't very gory at all.
True. Yep. It just kind of.
Then they went on to make 12 more.
Fun fact: Saw 1 is the only Saw movie I've seen.
Oh, the story unfolds pretty interestingly.
Hey, guys, want to do some tweets?
No.
Yes, please.
So, as you can tell, we like this one because we don't talk about ones that we like.
I don't know. Two of us rated it mid.
All right. James at James Swift 95 says, I really like this story. Joe's my favorite classic companion, and I think she's great from the offset. Obviously, the master starts off great, too. I also think the Autons are pretty spooky in this story, too.
Deadly. For sure.
2-2-2.
I suppose.
And we won't see the
spooky.
Autons again until Rose. They are done.
Poopy.
Yeah. When you do see the Auton face, like the actual Auton face, it's kind of neat.
And it's then spooky.
Then you never really get to see it again. It's too bad.
I actually kind of like the daffodil.
I think the first Auton story had the spookier getup. because they looked insane.
Just like weird sort of faceless creatures.
And like,
well, this is a master story. And we'll see that a lot where like the master kind of gets an army of a different monster. Like I think in later in the 80s, he gets the Cybermen a couple times. And it ends, they all end like this, where the master has his diabolical plan. And then at the end, the people that he has picked to fight for him, he realizes they're going to kill him too. So him and the doctor have to work together to stop it.
Okay, I was just going to bring that up.
That was a very fast exchange, and I'm glad you cleared that up, because I didn't get it.
Is the master an idiot? Does he...
I thought it took a little more convincing, but the doctor just goes, you know they're going to kill you too, right? Or you know they can't tell the difference between you and humans? He's like, fuck. He's like, okay, how do we stop these Zatons?
Yeah, like, not even trying to convince him. It was just a flip of a switch, just yep.
That was 95% of my rage.
It's so anticlimactic. It's just, all right.
We did get a really good reverse the polarity, though.
Oh, yeah.
And the third doctor, we're going to get a lot of those.
Oh.
Pod Baby was like, what's happening? I'm like, they reversed the polarity.
They're backing it up, bro.
Dumb kid.
It was really funny. Like,
God, don't you know anything? Pushes him off the couch.
That school you're going to sucks.
Oh, no.
The school is me. I am the school.
My mom said you have to teach me about polarity.
and reversing the polarity.
Okay, bbirdmoth at b_bird_moth says, love the atmosphere of this one, sets the tone for the season. Joe's great fun, and Delgado is still unbeatable in the role. Hilariously jarring how nonchalant the master is introduced. It's just a joy to watch his with iconic effects and great performances. Good stuff.
I'm convinced all you old Who fans are the same person. Like, I've never seen two of you in the same room together.
There
so.
Can't be that many people that like old Who.
That apparently there can.
Me and Jill and Alex just went to a whole goddamn convention that thousands and thousands of people.
It was all old Who.
Okay. I'm gonna next the
Jill
first time.
Jill doesn't like old Who, and she was there, so point proven. Boom, checkmate.
Only so many of them could have been wives who were drugged there by their husbands and his brother.
I did enjoy this story.
Boom. Jill's in.
I wouldn't go seeking it out, though.
Next conference, Jill's going to be one of them.
No. No, I will not.
Jill will never go to another Doctor Who convention.
Oh, episode 3-4, good. Depends 1-2, no idea what happened.
If it's in a cool town, she's in. She ain't there for that.
All right, sorry.
Same. Ohio, Cleveland.
Ooh, I did love Cleveland.
Oh, shit. Oh, bad example. Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, I haven't been to Cleveland.
You were in Cincinnati.
Go to a Browns
I was in
game.
Cincinnati.
All right, Cleveland's back on the table.
I would go to Cleveland.
Okay. Janelle has IWTV Brainwatt at JChristineH say is a solid sequel, a solid serial, and a solid introduction to some new regulars, Joe Grant, Mike Yates, and the Master. It's only slightly brought down by the unceremonious departure of Liz Shaw. Both the character and the actor deserve so much more. But I adore Joe Grant, so it gets a small pass for that. A lot of people look to Sarah Jane or Ace to describe the origin of the modern female companion, but I think it starts with Joe. Plucky, brave, and loyal, but with a more defined character background and skill set. To place her on a more equal level of narrative importance that had kind of been lost after Ian and Barbara. Over it all, it pretty much sets the tone and formula for what the show would be for the rest of Classic Who, minus the eventual loss of UNIT and the recovery of time travel.
Janelle calls it a serial.
Off that tweet.
That was a great tweet. You should do a podcast.
I could not care less about Liz. Every time we saw Liz, I was like, who's this girl? When did she... Is she the new companion? Oh, she's been with us? I don't remember her.
Yeah, but that's more on you.
I'm just saying. She was not...
She Liz was not Martha, so your opinion and companions just means nothing to anybody.
Liz was a self-sustaining...
Martha Boo. Rose, yay.
she like was her own thing. She didn't need the doctor, whereas every other companion like needs the doctor.
I want them to work together. I want a nice companionship.
Well, she held up the doctor and cleaned up his bullshit as he was just trudging through.
Don't remember any of the episodes. You could be right, could be wrong. I'd never know.
I guess we'll never know.
Amy at Spencer Tracy Fan responded to Janelle. Said, I remember being shocked and disappointed when Lishaw wasn't around in season 8. The reason within the show didn't make any sense. But I do agree that Joe Grant turned out to be great. Oh, and then they keep talking to each other for a little while about it.
Yeah, friends. I like it.
Gets a little in the weeds for you guys, but keep it up. I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. No, Jake probably eats all of that up. Feed him. This man collects signatures and your information.
Oh, actually, I'm going to keep going. Janelle responded, yeah, it's one of those bittersweet blessings. While I wanted more Shaw, they were never going to write her properly, so it was best they put in someone new. But she deserved a proper send-off, though leaving because the doctor didn't respect her qualifications is 100% in character. Amy then replies, I didn't like the way it was said, and I felt she did more, but it's neither here nor there. Then Janelle said, yeah, the way it was delivered was snarky and offhanded, borderline disrespectful, but personally, just a ideal level, I say good for her. Three was a bit patrician and inconsiderate at times, so her knowing to get out sooner rather than later was a good move in the universe. Then Amy finishes by saying, yeah, it was a good move for her. I know the doctor's the smartest guy in the room, but it's nice to have a character like Liz. But to speak on Terror of the Autons, I liked it. I love the intro to the Master. So there, we get Amy saying she liked Terror of the Autons.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Look at that. We're starting conversations within the Whoverse.
Then we got a tweet from neither the time nor the space at Time Nor Space Pod. And this is Matt that runs their Twitter. And he says, never seen it. So my question is, this weekend for my birthday, I went to see an orchestra play the best Disney songs. God, you're such a fucking child. What is each of the Mary's favorite Disney songs? And then he has some which receive bonus points if those are the ones you pick.
You think you could just ask that question? Like the answer isn't a profound calculus equation?
The one that immediately popped in my head was Zero to Hero Hercules. That's the one that's just like, yep, song. It's a great one.
I can't pick my favorite at the moment. I will before the next 3 minutes are over. But my least favorite is Colors in the Wind.
Fight you.
Oh, okay. You don't like Colors of the Wind. Wow.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Crazy.
I know every word to Part of Your World and I sing it to the boys. Quite often. It's a great song. But just
have they seen Aladdin?
Spoiler.
That is not from
spoiler for Cody's Aladdin. Favorite Disney song.
Oh, that's from
Mermaid.
Mermaid.
Have they seen Little Mermaid?
I think, but our oldest got stickers from the doctor the other day and he picked the princesses out and he did get Ariel. Pretty excited about that.
Nice.
But also most underrated. Just can't wait to be king. I don't know. Wait to be king.
I was just
whatever
saying,
it's called.
I was just thinking that was a close second.
Oh my God. That is.
The Lion King soundtrack was the first CD I ever owned.
So good.
And Circle of Life is my favorite song.
Ooh, that's a good
one. I actually
one.
Just listened to like, or just looked up like 6 different instances of Elton John singing it live like 2 months ago.
Pink pajamas, penguins on the bottom.
Cody, what was yours?
Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your order be?
So we all picked classic Disney.
Yeah.
Disney's
bangers, bro.
Well, I'm curious because, like, ooh, lately, supposedly,
Frozen.
I don't, well, oh, after Frozen, because
okay,
I have
Moana,
seen that one.
Moana yes. has some good music, but it's also written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who I am a huge fangirl of. So
yeah. there's that, but then like Coco apparently has great
gosh.
Music.
I like, will literally cry to that movie. So
all
good.
These new Disney movies that are coming out, apparently
wish,
soundtracks
not wish,
are
not
the,
all of them.
The house one.
Not all of them.
Yeah,
and we don't
Encanto.
Watch them because we are not
Encanto,
children, nor do we have
so
children.
Good.
But I was
Matt,
wondering
on the other hand.
I was wondering was the concert classic Disney or was it new Disney as well?
True.
That'd yeah, be... we need more info.
Great question.
Yeah. We don't talk about Bruno.
Yes.
Smash.
So here's what Matt says you get bonus points for if you say, Remember Me, Circle of Life.
That's new.
Well, Circle of Life was said.
Another or... add-in special mention, Hakuna Matata.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Obligatory.
King Killer.
Or We Don't Talk About Bruno. That was his other one. That gets bonus points.
Or you've got a friend
Disney
to me.
Fanon.
Oh, you got a friend in me, might be.
You got
no, that's Pixar.
Okay, that's you just kind of have to almost Fine. Mock that song, though, because...
You'd be, Gary Newman? It is big, dumb voice.
Oh, what's the Sarah McLachlan song from the second Toy Story? That might be my favorite.
In the arms.
No.
Not the ASPCA song.
Okay, what person doesn't have that memorized from when they were a kid watching TV until way too late?
That was a song that you hear when it was like raining, right? And he fell out of the box or whatever.
Yeah, when it's the song for the girl cowboy.
Jesse.
Yes. Unlike Matt, who I will point out is my age, I don't watch Disney movies anymore.
He probably has children.
Don't listen to him.
Oh no,
Matt.
He does not.
No.
Yeah. Don't listen to him.
He
Matt.
Probably
he's sour.
He probably doesn't watch Disney either, but he
when
knows the soundtracks.
When She Loved Me is the name of the song.
You don't need to watch.
He watches
Disney now.
Last year, he wanted to watch 100 new movies as like his New Year's resolution or whatever. And he talked about them on his podcast, which everyone should check out. Check out Neither Time Nor Space. And listen to Matt talk about all of his favorite Disney movies that he hadn't seen before last year.
Never
did. He said 100 new movies, but he's watching movies he's seen before?
New to him.
Oh.
But they're like, he only watches, he's like Terry. He only watches genre movies. So he never watched like just like a drama. just like a normal movie. But everything you watch is either have vampires or zombies or Transformers or their cartoons.
Some people, you know, what do you do?
You invite them to be the producer on your podcast and don't let them talk.
I see this as an absolute win.
Hey, thanks for your question, Matt. We love it. We love you. I only kid. But seriously, watch some grown-up movies. before we end, Jill.
Yes?
Who's your MVP?
I'm really having a hard time deciding between Joe and the Master. I thought I would have decided at this point. My problem is, so the guy who plays the Master, whose name?
Roger Delgado.
Yes. Is that just him? Like, is he playing himself? Because it's questionable.
No, he's a sweetheart. I feel like he's got to be a sweetheart.
So he was friends with Barry Letts, who's running the show at this point. When they created the idea for the Master, he immediately just goes, it's got to be Delgado.
All right, I'll go Delgado. He was very dynamic, like took over the screen every time he was in it. Everything was great. I don't think there was like anything out of place whatsoever. He was just fantastic. Right.
But conversely, with Katie Manning, they had three women. They were auditioned a billion ladies, and they got it down to three. And then a casting director convinced them to see Katie Manning. And she walked in, and she just, like, was Joe. Like, she was stumbling around. She was late. She couldn't see. She was clumsy. And people often mistake Joe as being dumb. She's not dumb. She's clumsy. Those are different things.
She's legally blind.
But like they saw her and they were just like, that's her. Like she just has this charisma. And so, yeah, they're both great. It is hard to pick. Alex.
Roger Delgado. Roger Del got it, if you know what I'm saying. So it's him.
Cody.
Roger the cat.
Meow.
Boo.
No, boo you.
They knew what they were doing, calling that character that.
If it's Delgado, doesn't that mean like from cat?
Don't think too hard about it.
Of cat. The guy who was murdered by the Anton that like hid under the curtains, his wife.
Oh, Jesus.
The one female character in the story that wasn't Joe Grant.
She deserves it.
2 hours long, one woman with speaking lines.
She deserves it.
You didn't even watch that episode.
I saw that part.
That's when her brain turned on.
It was the loud scream. It was the loud scream in the end of the episode.
Speaking of, I found this under the curtains. Almost like he's trying to get away. Loved it.
So you guys will find that I... will very rarely choose someone who is not Katie Manning in an episode that has Katie Manning. I was going to have this be one of those exceptions and pick Roger Delgado, but since all of you guys did except
whiteboard
for Sam,
it.
I'm picking Katie Manning.
Bring back whiteboards. Fuck
I'm
you, Jake,
saying,
and your cowardice.
This is why I brought them. This is why I bought whiteboards.
All right, we need a new whiteboard process.
Well, I'll let you workshop that with how we can do it into, like, just count to three, one, two, three, and everyone hit enter on Discord.
Yes, that's what I was just thinking.
We could just message them to you.
We just put it in the bot.
Them.
No,
yeah,
he's
but then
a
there's
cheater.
No problem of me changing bot. Mine.
You put your, type your own to yourself.
I'm a cheater. Okay, for next time, it's a six-parter.
Hmm.
It has a name, which I don't remember.
That's many parts.
It's The Mind of Evil. So this season has 25 episodes. We get 2 4-parters, 2 6-parters, and a 5-parter. The next 3 seasons, they do 24 or 26 episodes. And so it's 2 4-parters and 3 6-parters for every of the next 3 seasons. And then once we get to Tom Baker, then they like figure it out. Like, oh, we could do 6 4-parters instead of this way.
So I can
they,
just
they add a story per season.
See them with their abacai. That's
but,
multiples
but
from
adding
abacus.
A story adds a huge amount of money to the budget because now you're hiring all new actors, all new sets, all new locations. It's like a wild change in how much you're spending on a season.
Yeah, but people will watch it then.
Well, I forgot to go over the ratings, speaking of people watching it. Episode 1 got 7.3 million. Episode 2 got 8 million. Episode 3 got 8.1. Episode 4 got 8.4. A steady increase.
Are these similar to today's
no
numbers?
The BBC would kill everybody
okay. That's what
they
I thought.
Could find if they could get... They're getting like 2.5 million. Maybe it gets up to 4 after like 72-hour rewatches.
Christmas episode's got to hit different.
A little bit. But it's just TV in general is different. Like they're probably sitting in the same position. Like they're still like... third best on the day or in like top 10 for the week, but people just don't watch TV in the same way anymore. Anyway. And that's only in the UK. Like everyone else is watching it on Disney Plus. And who knows how that's going because they refuse to give out numbers. They are currently shooting the spinoff, so they're going forward with that, but they have not greenlit a third season.
Of Alex Doctor Who?
Yeah. Of Shurikawa Doctor Who on Disney Plus. And actually, there's an article in the Daily Mail this week that... So Shurikawa was on Graham Norton this week talking about a play he's in. And they asked about Doctor Who. And according to the Daily Mail, who had someone there, he said, yeah, I'm set to go back and shoot season 3 next year. I watched the episode. He does not say that. So either... He did say it, and it was cut out, or he just never said it.
They cut it out because it wasn't allowed to be said.
Possible. Anyway, Alex, do the song.
You know, I was wondering today if, like, people know that we do the song beginning and end live every time.
Well, we'll never know because I'm cutting that part out.
You should ask. It'd be funny to
ask who?
Twitter. The
people.
Fuck.
They don't care.
Pay attention, Jake.
This has been Married to Who, our episode on Terror of the Autons. If you'd like to participate, you can do so with us at Twitter, Married to Who Pod, on Instagram, Married to Who. You can visit our website, marriedwho.com. I don't know why you would, but you can. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex, and Terry out there somewhere, thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for The Mind of Evil. Be-do-do.